What's up? This is Kinsley, and you're listening to the Curls and Courage podcast. What's up, you guys, and welcome to episode number 9 of the Curls and Courage podcast. My name is Kinsley Meeks. I am your host, mental health advocate, coach, and athlete, aiming to inspire you to reach your highest physical and mental potential. If it is your first time tuning in, you have no idea how much I appreciate you listening. And if you're an avid listener, that's even better. Thank you so much for listening to episode number 9. This is going to be a good one. So if you listened to last week's episode, you gained some valuable insight on the effects of exercise on mental health that was titled The Courage to Move. That podcast was all about how exercise affects you in a positive way if you're struggling with your mental health with conditions such as anxiety, depression, and OCD, which are topics that are very near and dear to my heart since I've gone through those struggles myself. After I release episodes, I usually take some time to go back and listen to them and think about, you know, what I can do better and just getting, you know, feedback from the audience and loved ones and friends who are close to me. And I kind of got done listening that episode and I realized, all right, I kind of sound fatigued and exhausted when I'm talking about these mental health conditions. But to be straight up, I was pretty tired when I recorded the episode. And also, talking about mental health is exhausting. You know, it's not a fun topic to discuss. It's hard to talk about if you're someone who's been through those struggles. But I think it's so important that I am open about what I've gone through, what I'm currently going through, in order to be relatable and share those, you know, struggles with you guys. So here's the thing. Today we're going to do something that's a little bit more lighthearted. I am super excited to share this episode with you guys because we're going to do just a story time. We're going to talk about my worst day in Miami, Florida. I'm going to tell you guys a series of unfortunate events that just kind of added up and now are kind of funny. But going through this in the moment was the opposite of funny. It was a terrible day, but I did learn a very valuable lesson from it. There was a moral to this very bad day, and I believe that you can always learn a lesson from a negative experience. So make sure that you listen till the very end of this episode. If you'd like to hear the story on how I got my car towed, wrecked, and lost over $2,000 all in the span of about 3 hours, just a few months after moving to the big city. And again, please be sure to listen to the very end so you can learn how this chain of adverse events helped me develop a mindset of resilience in every situation in which you can apply to your life as well. So let me take you back to this exact day. The day was Wednesday, October 19th. This was roughly 3 months after my big move to Miami. So if you're new listening here, I'm a small town girl. I moved from Mobile, Alabama to the big city in hopes of just really to pursue my dreams and expand in my career as a coach and a bikini competitor. So on this day, you know, it's beautiful. Miami is full of sunshine. You know, I'm feeling pretty good. I had just got done training my clients in the morning, and every day around 12, 1 p.m., I travel to a gym called Elevation here in Midtown in the city to work on my own personal fitness goals. It's an awesome gym. It's really the best part about my day. Typically every day, and I'm always there around that same time because that's how my schedule works. Typically, I'll train clients in the morning in person. I'll break up the day. I'll go train myself. I'll come back to my apartment and I'll either finish with online clients or I'll go back to train a couple more in person. So on this day, I remember it, you know, like it was yesterday because it was a story that I truly can't forget. I had just finished training my back and my upper chest. I had a really good workout. I walk outside of the gym, you know, I'm hoping to get back in my car. And I realized that my car wasn't in the place that I had parked it. It was nowhere to be found. So initially I thought that like someone had stolen my car. I mean, I didn't know if that was possible, like someone had possibly gone into it and unlocked it and drove it somewhere else. Like, you never know. Miami's crazy. There's a lot of sketchy people out here. So I was just assuming the worst, but I was, you know, kind of panicking in the backside of my mind. I thought maybe I had gone crazy. Maybe I didn't remember where I'd parked it, but turns out, so my car wasn't the same place that I left it because it had gotten towed. I was standing on the outside of the Elevation parking lot. The parking lot was super full at the time, so I wasn't able to actually park at a parking spot. I had to park more like on the side of the road, and I paid for street parking, but apparently I had like parked in front of a sign in which I couldn't park, which I didn't know this. I'm not familiar with having to pay to park after first moving to the city. But the way I found this out was, so there was actually like this homeless guy on the side of the street, and he's like, "Yo, miss." And I'm like, "Hey, what's up? Like, how are you doing?" He's like, "You drive a black BMW?" And I'm like, "Yes, sir. Like, I do." He's like, "Aw, man, they just towed your car." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. This really sucks." So I'm like, "I don't even know what to do in this situation. Like, when my car gets towed, who's the first person that you're going to call?" So I was like, "I guess I'll call the police." So I call 911 and I'm like, "Hey, I drive a black BMW and I'm pretty sure my car just got towed." So they're asking me all of this information about the license plate and about how I should proceed to go pick up the car. So I find out the car is at this tow truck facility that's about 3 miles away from the gym in which I'm training at. So I'm like, okay, this situation, you know, isn't very good. At this time, it's about 2:30 p.m. and I have my next in-person client at 4 p.m. So I'm like, okay, I have enough time to go ahead and go pick up the car. I won't have time to shower or anything before my next few clients at night, but that's totally fine. I'll just go pick up the car. I learned a lesson, you know, on where not to park, and then I'll get back in my car. I'll drive back to my clients and I'll be good to go, because I still have, again, like an hour and a half before my next client. Where my car is at right now is only like 3 minutes away from the gym I'm at. So I'm like, okay, just keep your cool. It's totally fine. Just stay positive, Kinsley. I'm talking to myself. I talk to myself a lot. So I'm like, just stay positive. So I take an Uber to where my car is currently at. This Uber picks me up and takes me to where my car is located. So I get to this facility and, you know, they ask me all of these questions in order for me to get my car. They ask me, you know, for my driver's license. They asked me to pay a bill of over $250 that I had lost that I needed to pay right now to be able to even get my car. They asked me for, you know, my license and registration. So I give, you know, the people at this facility all of that good stuff. And they tell me, okay, here's your car. It's in this lot or whatever. You can go ahead and take it. You're good to go. So I'm like, okay. At this point, it's like 3 p.m. I still have an hour to get back to the gym. It's really not a big deal. I know that I'm going to make it to my next client on time, right? Or so I think. So traffic is pretty bad at this moment, but, you know, I still think it's not that big of a deal. Again, I learned another lesson. I'm like, okay, you just need to wait next time for a parking spot in elevation instead of being so impatient or find a different place to park. So I'm like, okay, again, 3 p.m., I have a few minutes that I can spare. So Lord, I'll work on my patience. I understand what's going on now. I'm driving back to where I need to go train my clients. And keep in mind, this was only like 3 months after I had moved to the city, so I still didn't really know my way around the town very well, but I put it on Google Maps, and again, I had plenty of time to spare at this moment. You guys are not going to believe what happens next. So again, I'm looking at Google Maps. I'm on my way back to the gym in which I train my next client. I look down for a second, and then bam. I had slammed into the car in front of me in the middle of the street, have no idea where I'm at, so now I'm freaking out, okay? I had now gotten in a wreck after just getting my car towed, and I'm also freaking out because, so my car, the insurance on it is very, very expensive, and whenever I was in high school and like living back in Alabama, I wasn't the best driver, so I've already gotten in multiple wrecks, I've gotten multiple speeding tickets, and you know, Miami is hard to drive in general, but I had really learned, even with the 3 months that I had been there at this time, how important it was that I keep my eyes on the road and that I learn how to better my driving skills. So because my insurance is so high and because I've already had so many issues with insurance, if I had one more wreck or if I got one more like claim, my insurance was going to drop us. I even remember my dad stressing to me when I moved to the city, make sure you're keeping your eyes on the road, make sure that you don't get in a wreck. And I just remember him saying that in the back of my head. And then what did I just do? I just gotten, you know, a bad wreck. First off, let me say thank God. I had hit a lady. She wasn't injured. I wasn't injured. It was really just a fender bender. Her car did have some damage on it. My front bumper was completely messed up. But, you know, I told myself, what can I do in this situation to get this issue resolved? So We're in the middle of the street, my car and hers. We both have our emergency lights on. I get out of my car and I go up to this lady and I apologize. I'm like, hey, I'm so sorry. I actually just got my car towed. I was really in a rush. I'm new to the town. Is there any way you can just not call the police? I can just pay you out of pocket for whatever damage that you have on your car. So she's like, you know, obviously not trusting me at all. What do you mean don't call the police? How can I trust you and say that you're going to pay? And I'm like, ma'am, I'm literally begging her at this point. Like, I'm on the verge of tears. And I'm like, ma'am, like, it's been a really hard day. Like, I'm trying to play the card where I'm like, I'm new to the city again. And I'm telling this lady, please, please, please just don't call the police. So she's like, okay, I'll give you just a few minutes to figure things out. So I get back in my car. And I'm like, okay, how much is the damage gonna cost? What's a reasonable amount that I can actually send this lady? So I call my dad because he's a claims adjuster. This was after calling my mom and my brother who didn't answer their phones. I was freaking out again. I'm like, oh, I'm all alone. I don't know where I am. And I tell my dad, hey, I just got in this wreck. Of course, he's actually understanding. He's obviously mad, but he's understanding. He's just glad that I'm okay. And I'm asking him his opinion on what I should do in this situation and telling him that I didn't call the police because I didn't want our insurance to go up. And I'm asking him about how much damage it would probably cost. And again, I'm talking to my dad on the phone. I FaceTime him. I show him the damage. Keep in mind, at this point, we are still in the middle of the road. Me and this lady, we just have our emergency blinker lights on. And if you guys ever been to Miami, the traffic is absolutely insane. So cars are honking all at us. They're stressing me out. At even one point, like a policeman drove by and I'm like, sir, we got it under control. Like, we're totally fine. Like, please leave us alone. So he's like, all right, well, you guys at least need to get out of the street. And I'm like, okay, yes, sir, we'll do this in a minute. So behind the point, again, I'm on the phone with my dad. I show him the damage, and he says the damage will cost me at least $2,000 that I need to offer to pay this lady. So I'm like, okay, another $2,000 on top of the $250 that I just lost. So I go up to the lady's car, and I'm like, ma'am, is there any way I can just Zelle you $2,000 for this damage? Like, I'll pay you right now. Just let me get on my phone and Zelle you the money. Zelle is a payment transaction that a lot of people use. If you guys aren't familiar with it, this is what I use for a lot of my clients, a lot of my payments here in the city. So thank God, like, this lady actually agrees. She's like, okay, just send me $2,000 right now and we'll call it a day. And I'm like giving her my number and my personal information. Again, she agrees to this and we get out of the road finally. We're, you know, just in a random parking lot. I think it was a gas station at this time. And I'm trying to Zelle her the money. So you guys know, of course, something else bad has to happen this time. So I'm trying to Zelle this lady $2,000 out of my bank account. And it turns out there's a problem with Zelle. I'm not able to get her the transaction for some reason. I don't remember the exact problem, to be honest with you, but I remember my Zelle just wasn't working. I'm on the phone with the customer service for Zelle transactions. And ends up, they're not really helping me. There's all these kind of issues. And they basically tell me that my Zelle isn't going to work for like 48 hours. So I'm like, there's no way this lady is going to trust me to Zelle her $2,000 in 48 hours. She doesn't even know anything about me. So I tell the lady, ma'am, I'm sorry. I promise you, like, I'm good with my word. I know this is really hard for you to understand, but I'm unable to Zelle you $2,000 at the time. I just looked it up, and there's a Regions Bank. That's the bank that I bank with, about 2 miles away. Is there any way that you could just follow me there? I'll be super quick. I'll go to my bank. I'll get $2,000 cash, and I'll hand it to you. So, of course, she's frustrated at this time. I mean, I'm so grateful that this lady even, like, bared with me for this amount of time. She's super frustrated. She tells me that she has to go pick up her daughter from school, so she's really in a hurry. And I'm like, yes, ma'am, I totally understand. Please just bear with me. I'll be as quick as I can. I'll run in there. I'll give you $2,000 cash. I promise you. Please just believe me. So she's like, okay. So I'm really stressed out now. Of course, she's probably really stressed out now. But we're both now in our cars driving to Regions Bank. She's following me. I'm making sure that I'm driving super carefully. I pull into the Regions Bank parking lot. So she's sitting in her car. I get out of my car and go up to the front desk of Regions Bank and tell them that I need to take out $2,000. They ask me for my driver's license and, of course, just normal information that you would ask at a bank. And it turns out I had never been to this bank before because I, you know, I had only been living in Florida for about 3 months. So they're telling me, like, you don't have a Florida driver's license. We can't get this much money out of your bank account. How do we even know that this is you? And I'm like, of course. I'm like, what the hell? What do you mean you don't even know if it's me? Like, I'm showing you a picture of me. I just moved to the city. I know that I don't have a Florida's driver's license yet. I haven't got around to getting it. Please just believe me. And I'm, you know, I'm, again, at this point, you know, I'm not on the verge of tears. Like, I'm crying. And I've told you guys in past podcasts, like, I really don't cry. I really do not like to cry. But I just don't know how the situation could get much worse at this point. So I'm begging the front desk, like, please, is there any way that you can just let me take $2,000 out of my bank account? So they're like, okay, let me go talk to my manager. So I run back out to the lady who's still waiting in the Regent's parking lot trying to pick up for her kid from school. And I'm like, ma'am, is there any way you could just give me like 5 more minutes? There's a problem with the bank, but I swear I'll get this money to you. She's like, okay, just, you know, hurry up. So turns out the manager comes out of the front desk and starts talking to me, and he's like, we can get you the $2,000, but we're going to have to ask you a lot of different like security questions to make sure that your account is safe and to make sure that you are who you say you are. So they start asking me all of these security questions, probably quizzing me for like 5 minutes, random questions. Like, I believe one was, what is your dad's middle name? Questions like that that were pretty in detail. It was very strange, but ends up I passed the test, I guess. So I get the $2,000 and I give it to the lady. So here's the thing. With my dad being a claims adjuster, he's taught me a lot about the importance of contracts and agreements. So he tells me that I need to basically create a contract and an agreement that says the lady in which I hit with my car is not going to sue me, right? Is not going to claim any bodily injuries or try to say that I didn't pay her or anything like that. So I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'm going to become a lawyer now. So I'm, you know, looking up super quickly at this time, like, how to create a settlement agreement when you smash into somebody. So I end up like writing a really quick script on how, saying that I paid this lady $2,000 worth of damage, that she can't claim any more damage on her car, that she can't claim any injuries, and I have to video her signing this agreement just in case, because I guess I'm thinking like, okay, I could have forged her signature, so I need to make sure I have a video. So this is like extremely awkward. And also keep in mind at this time, I'm missing my clients. I'm not going to make it back by 4 p.m. It's already 4 p.m. So I'm also having to call my client and text my client and be like, hey man, I'm sorry, I'm not going to make it. This looks terrible on me as a coach, because I never miss my client training sessions. If I say I'm going to be there at a certain time, I'm going to be there 5 minutes before that certain time, or I'm in a serious problem predicament, or I'm dying, you know. So this client luckily is very understanding. Besides the point, just wanted to let you guys know that's more money that I missed, more time that I missed, a client that I missed, which I hate doing that because I want to be accountable. I want to be a good coach, and I want to be someone who shows up for my people. So that's also happening at this time. There's a multitude of things happening at this time, if you can't tell. But back to the signature. So this lady's signing the document. You know, I take that video. I tell her, ma'am, I'm so sorry. Here is my name. Here is my number. If there's any problems, you know, please just let me know. If the damage is more than this, I will pay even more. If the damage is less than this, I kindly ask you to Zelle me back the money in which this bumper replacement cost. Again, because keep in mind, I hit the backside of her car. So she's like, okay, hope you have a good rest of your day. Again, this lady, of course, she's frustrated, but she's pretty nice regarding the situation. And I'm like, okay, that was a really terrible 3 hours of my life, but now the situation is over. She signed the agreement. I've sent her the Zelle. I have my car back. I've told my client I'm not going to make it. All I need to do now is drive back to Panorama. This is the building in which I work at to train clients primarily, and I'm gonna make it back just a little bit late for my next client, who I think was at like 5:30. So nothing else bad happens if you guys are waiting on, you know, another unfortunate event. This was enough for the day. So I get back to Panorama. I see my 5:30 p.m. client, and the first question she asked me is, hey, how are you? I respond with, I'm doing well, and you? Do you guys think that I was actually doing well? On the inside, of course, I was feeling terrible. I had just lost over $2,000, missed my last client training session, wrecked my car that still to this day has a huge dent in it, and I'm feeling completely overwhelmed, stressed out, and financially in a bad spot. But I answer again the question with, I'm doing well. I went about my night, and I finished with two more clients after that. I came back to my apartment, home, to act like nothing had happened. I remember actually laughing at the point before bed because there was almost no way I could have a worse day tomorrow. That was a lot of unfortunate events. So listen, this all brings me to say the moral of the story is do not let negative situations and or people affect your day and the way you show up for others. Even when the situation is bad, your mindset makes all of the difference. Learning how to be optimistic and positive in dark situations builds fortitude and resilience. I could have been negative for the rest of the evening. I could have went home and just crawled under my covers, canceled the rest of my training sessions after all of these happenings occurred. But instead, I didn't. I chose to remain positive and not let the situation control me. I chose to focus on what went right that day rather than what went wrong. I had an awesome training session. I got in a wreck, but I didn't hurt myself or anyone else. I impacted the lives of others in a positive way regarding my clients that I trained that day. And I honestly learned some valuable lessons to keep my eyes on the road. I learned where not to park, and I learned how to write a car accident waiver and a release of liability or a settlement agreement off of the top of my head, pretty much. I do believe that when life gives you hard situations or losses, you tend to learn a valuable lesson from them. If you guys don't know the artist Lecrae, he's a Christian rapper. Definitely check him out. One of my favorite songs by him is called Blessings. I believe it features like Ty Dolla $ign as well. I want to read to you guys the first four lines of this song. I feel like they really represent what I was going through in this time. And again, this song just, it definitely resonates with me and a lot of people. So here's what it starts like. If I ever took a loss, I learned a lesson. He says, I won't ever think I'm better than the next man. I've been down before the come up. I ain't stressing. Baby, I'm too busy counting all these blessings. It's such a powerful message, and it's a song that really has spoken to me and continues to get me through my darkest of times. So, you know, the line starts with, if I ever took a loss, I learned a lesson. You know, this song reminds me to keep my faith in hard times. It reminds me to be grateful for the blessings I do have. It reminds me to remember to learn from the losses and the mistakes in which I have made. So I challenge you guys this week to remain positive through the challenges you face this week and be open to learning from your own losses, from your own mistakes. Do you see the glass as half empty or half full? Do you let past situations and losses control your day and the way you feel and act instead of just celebrating your wins? As you guys know, this is a fitness-based podcast. But it's also a mental health-based podcast created to make you stronger emotionally. And I can promise you that adopting this optimistic mentality will change your perspective and transform your mind and the way you see failures for the better. I want to thank you guys so much for listening. If this podcast made you feel more optimistic, made you laugh, or inspired you in any type of way, please share it with a friend and rate and review the show. These rate and reviews are super helpful for me because they help grow the show and help me reach a broader audience. But they also help me learn how I can help you. They give me good feedback on what you guys would like to hear or see next. Also, if you guys want to get in contact with me, be sure to visit my website, kinsleymeeks.com, or if you're interested in one-on-one training, nutrition, or competition posing coaching, you can also reach out to me directly on that same website. One more time, it's kinsleymeeks.com. KinsleyMeeks.com. Before we end every podcast, I always like to take a question from a listener or someone random in the audience. This is one of my friends that I met here in Miami. Shout out to my dear friend, Jody. She is amazing. I've actually had her ask a question before on the podcast, but she asked me multiple ones, and this one was too good not to share with you guys. Jody is an amazing coach, an amazing athlete, and an amazing friend. Jody, if you're listening, I'm so grateful for our friendship. Let's see what you say and see how I can help.
Hey, Kinsley, it's Jody. I have a question. Is there a certain time you should stop eating at night?
Thank you so much for this question, babe. I definitely get asked this question pretty frequently. I feel like it's a common misconception that, like, if you eat dinner past 6 or 7 p.m., you're going to gain a lot of body fat and it's unhealthy. This is a controversial topic, but I think that is so not true. In short, no, I do not think there's a certain time you should stop eating at night. However, I do believe what you eat before bed is important, as well as meal timing. So energy metabolism and hormones that regulate your appetite follow a certain circadian rhythm, which is referred to as the natural cycle of physical, mental, and behavior changes that the body goes through in like a 24-hour period. So when this is disrupted, it can lead to metabolic consequences such as weight gain. This means I feel like you should try to keep your meal timings on a certain schedule. For example, I don't think your time should be so random, like you're going to wake up in the middle of the night and eat, or you're going to wait and fast for 10 hours when you first wake up and then eat your first meal at 2 p.m. I think that you should follow a certain schedule for your meals every single day for the most part. I believe there's a lot of benefit in that. There's also a lot of benefit of the meal timing as far as like pre and post workout, making sure that you're fueling your body with healthy protein and carbohydrate sources before and after you train. And then also what you eat before bed is important. So I am a big person on actually using food as fuel for your body. So before you put something into your mouth, ask yourself, why am I eating this? And is it going to benefit me in some way? Because if it's 8 p.m., you know, and you're eating a lot of calories, a lot of, you know, carbohydrates, a lot of fats, I don't really think that's necessary because you're just going to bed. You're not fueling yourself for a training session, but that might be different for somebody who, you know, trains at 8 p.m. and they want to have a pretty good amount of carbs before they go hit legs. You know, it really just depends on the person, but think about what you were doing with the last couple hours of your day and think about the concept of using food as fuel and keeping your body on a certain meal schedule. We do discuss this more in detail if you are working with me one-on-one. So if you have any questions similar to these and want to get healthier and find the right meals and the right timings for your body, using food as fuel, using that concept a little bit better into your routine, again, you can just contact me directly. Hopefully that answers your question, Jody. As again, I do believe there's not a certain cutoff that you have to stop eating at night. It's about what you eat and why you are eating that specific food group. And again, I'd like to thank you guys so much for taking the time out of your day to listen, to shed a little bit of positivity into your life, and to hopefully learn some valuable information about being optimistic and nutrition tips. Be sure to tune in next week and let me know what you'd like to listen to next. As always, I'm wishing you guys a life full of gratitude, a life full of good, optimal mental and physical health, and so many blessings leading into the rest of your week. I will talk to you next Thursday morning. Have a blessed week and have a wonderful rest of your day, and we will talk soon.